You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a lot of NBA to get to this hour, but I before we get to Frank Isola, I actually think, Rob, you made in one remark, you made the argument that's going to keep Julian Edelman out of the Hall of Fame, and I don't think it has anything to do with his play.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're buying it, what I said to you.
No, I knew that. I mean, like, look, if it's a 50-50 guy and he got caught with PEDs, and could you make the excuse? It's late in his career. You know, he's trying to get back out on the field. Like, fine. But he got caught with it, and, you know, he popped positive. And it would be very close, and he probably doesn't get in under reasonable circumstances. And then, you know, the positive PED test, I don't think he gets in. But I think the part that many people miss on is all of the other things that help you win are the reason that Julian Edelman, based on his play, would belong into the Hall of Fame. Like, the more you coach, the more you play. If you played, you understand that there are guys that, and Draymond Green's a perfect example. You know, do I think Draymond Green, you can put him on any team in the NBA, he's going to average 25 points? No. But, okay, and so if that's what signifies an all-time great to you, he's never going to match up to that. But considering what the Golden State Warriors have needed, will need to get there again, the reason they were a dominant team, he was as important a part of it as Steph was, as Clay was, as Kevin Durant was. There's no question in my mind. And it's not the scoring. It's not statistical rebounding. It's all of the other little things that you do. And for whatever reason, in basketball, we seem to get that more than we do in football.
Yeah, I don't think he ranked. There's so many other players, Doug. I hear your point. But his body of work during the regular season is not good enough to consider him one of the all-time greats. It's not the Hall of Very Good. This is me. You know I'm a baseball Hall of Fame voter. If there's a debate about your career, you're not a Hall of Famer to me. Okay?
When I say
Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Ken Griffey Jr., I'm not hesitating. I'm not going, that to me is where the greatest of great players should be. Not, well, you know, he did make that one catch in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he did win a Super Bowl MVP despite not having a touchdown in that game. Yeah, you know, those guys to me should go to the Hall of Very Good. That's just the way I approach it. I think it should be the best of the best, and Julian Edelman is not the best of the best.
Okay, like, again, that to me is a bit of a different argument than the one that most people make. I agree with you. The Hall of Fame should be the all-time greats. All-time greats, right? And to be an all-time great, you have to have been the best at your position for at least a year, if not a couple of years. I think my argument would be, is there a slot wide receiver in the NFL? And to me, it'd be Wes Welker ahead of Edelman because he was far and away the best slot wide receiver in the league for a couple of years and maybe the best that there's ever been. He was best option route runner, third down wide receiver in the NFL for a good 4 years there. Mm-hmm. Edelman did a lot of other things. He was also Welker's backup for a while. So I agree with you what Hall of Fame should be. But what they've become is you have the uber elites. It's like, look, we'll talk about this with Frank Isola. Jordan is going to present Kobe in the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's going to argue Kobe belongs in the Hall of Fame. But there's lots of other guys in the Basketball Hall of Fame who are really, really good. But, like, are you really going to put him in? It's like, I get it. Tracy McGrady could really score. He didn't. His teams didn't get out of the first round of the
He wouldn't get a
playoffs.
Vote from me. I think that, first of all, I think the NBA, Doug, should have its own Hall of Fame. And that's no disrespect. I've been to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. I was there a few times when people got in, and, you know, it's a great honor and all that, and I'm not dissing the Basketball Hall of Fame.
But yes,
the NBA should have its own. Well, because it factors in too many things, you know, like your college career, and if that's the case, Christian Laettner should be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Christian Laettner was a great college basketball player, maybe not the greatest NBA player, or we're not the greatest NBA player, but from that, if you're going by that criteria and they've put people in who are still coaching and still coaching, which is strange. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I don't like about it because you should be retired before they honor you. But, I have an issue with a lot of it because it's longevity and all kinds of other things. Tracy McGrady, for as great of a scorer as he was, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, there is a College Basketball Hall of Fame. The Basketball Hall of Fame, I don't think the NBA needs to get in the business of their own Hall of Fame, right? But I agree with you on Christian Laettner. I think he'll be in the College Basketball Hall of Fame, and I think eventually he'll be in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame as well.
Well, but he was also on the Dream Team. I'm just saying, like, if you add that up, he didn't do much, but he was on that team.
Because they had to have one college player, and he was the best. He was most accomplished college player,
right?
By a long shot. That was available, right? But your argument is in fact valid in that case. I just look. I think Edelman, part of it is he didn't play. You know, everybody does the Hines Ward thing. Like, he didn't play nearly as much as Hines Ward. Like, it's just not. I mean, you know, he basically played 7 years. You know, he was a backup for 4 years, and then the last 7 years, like, you can't compare with Hines Ward. But I do think that Hines Ward is another guy who he went from being an outside wide receiver to a slot guy, and his blocking, the other little things that he did, helped you win football games. And that's the whole idea of it, is to help you. Who cares what your stats are? Did you help our team win the game? You know, yeah, okay, maybe you didn't have Maybe you can't take the top off a defense.
So if that's the case, then Calvin Johnson shouldn't be in. He didn't help them.
Calvin Johnson was so incredibly dominant.
But you said you don't care about stats. You just said, well, I don't care about stats. Did you help my team?
No, I don't think it's an either or argument. I think anybody would say Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, how many stats did Calvin Johnson get in meaningful games in his NFL career?
No. I'm listening. I know this is playing to your. It's like a fastball down the pipe to you. I mean, the year he set the record for receiving yards in a season, they won 4 games.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. So they were almost all meaningless stats. It doesn't stop Calvin Johnson from being an incredible player.
I agree. I watched his career again. You know, I spent 20 years in Detroit. I watched Calvin. He was incredible as a receiver. I'm just saying that you need to look at a lot of things before you determine, like, you know, like where he fits in, under what situation was he playing. Doug, you know this as a former athlete. Games where, you know, I remember Lloyd Vaught. Remember him, right?
Yeah.
Piled up stats with the Clippers, right? And then wound up, and that's no knock on Lloyd Vaught. He's playing. The games didn't matter. They weren't going anywhere, but he piled up stats. You know, a lot of guys, when you're not playing in games that don't matter, could pile up stats. And I think you got to be careful about that. That's my issue with Matthew Stafford, is that the guy was the first overall pick, played 12 years. Doug, one time, you know, where you rise up and win a game for your team that you need, even though the team's not that good. I've seen great players do that, and I didn't see Stafford do that in Detroit. So I just look at those things. I'm a stickler. I'm a hard voter. A lot of people would be mad if they looked at my ballot, because I just don't believe everybody should be rubber stamped into the Hall of Fame.
No, I'm with you. Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan, the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Like, I'll use it. My brother's been a college basketball coach for 25 years. And I'll never forget, he got the assistant job. He was at San Diego State when Steve Fisher first got there. And he was there for 8 years. And they became a big power program in the Mountain West Conference. And he left to go to the Pac-10, now the Pac-12, and coach at Cal. And when he got to Cal, his first order of business was to go find a point guard. And so he went to a place called Finley Prep. And Finley Prep at the time had Tristan Thompson. They produced star after star after star. And he went, he's like, who should I offer? And an assistant coach at the time said, the Mexican kid with the ponytail. And he's like, are you kidding me? He's awful looking. He's like, yeah, but he wins every game, literally every game. And he said, here's the crazy part. Somebody wants to fight him on the other team every game. And he just keeps kind of playing.
Right.
And the kid's name is Jorge Gutierrez. If you go back and track, Jorge became Pac-12 Player of the Year, started 4 years at Cal, and then played in the NBA. He's still kind of bounced around. He's played in a bunch of NBA teams. And Jorge's gift was not, there was nothing special about his jump shot, about his passing, whatever. He just knew how to win games. He was tough as hell. He guarded his guy. He scored when he needed to. He passed when he needed to. He was just tougher than a $2 steak. And those are the guys that help you win basketball games. Those are the guys that help you win football games. And it's really hard to explain to somebody statistically that, yeah, we got this guy and he puts up 25 a night. But let me tell you about the guy who actually helps us win games. And that's this guy. And that's where I think he falls.
That's fair. I just and there's a place for that guy, and I appreciate that guy, and I totally get it. But he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, we're going to get you ready for kind of the stretch run of the NBA regular season and try and figure out exactly what the Brooklyn Nets are going to look like. Frank Isola is going to join us upcoming next. We'll have Rob and I will have a little discussion about the Nets before Frank joins us. That's next.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rod Parker in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show. Frank Isola will join us in moments. Of course, you hear him on NBA Radio on Sirius XM.
The guy I've known for a million years in New York, man, Frank. Good man.
I agree. Where are you on the Nets?
They will win the NBA championship. I just think they have, it's an arms race. They got so much firepower. All they have to do is be healthy. They're the only ones that can stop them from not winning. And I like it. I mean, I think people dug out of the gate when they got Harden. How's this going to work? There's only one basketball or whatever. And you saw Harden quickly adapted and became a tremendous point guard and winning even despite them not having all three guys in at once. I don't see how they lose in a series.
The question becomes, can they stop anybody? The question becomes all of their other pieces. Like, those guys can't play 40 minutes. But can they stop anybody? You know, like, there's a reason we try not to use cliches, and one cliche is defense wins championships. But it'll be interesting to see based upon who they play against, right? If they play against the Lakers, for example, in the NBA Finals, the Lakers are a great defensive team, and they have two incredible offensive. They have a bunch of actually offensive weapons. Those offensive weapons haven't played together a ton, and how they match up is fascinating to me. Right, so I'm intrigued by this thing. I don't know. I think the good thing for the Nets is they have a longer runway in preparation because the East is just not as deep. And they'll have, in addition to the remaining part of the regular season, as they all, outside of LaMarcus Aldridge, start to get healthy.
Right.
They have a little bit more time to get ready for you know, to get ready for the second round of the playoffs than, say, the Lakers or, you know, I guess the Lakers or the Clippers, where that first round series feels like it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
I agree. And the first round, I don't know if the Lakers keep falling. Could they play the Clippers in the first round? You know, Doug, right? That, possibly.
So, possibly. Like, look, the Clippers are playing great basketball. They've won seven in a row. The Clippers have their – and then there's the – do we take – people don't take the Jazz seriously. Do they take the Jazz seriously? Do we take the Suns seriously?
No, they don't. All those two teams have done is win. They just keep winning, and nobody wants to have that conversation about them. And it's the, the Suns, you know, it's just the NBA. The NBA is about four teams, basically, and that's all people want to hear about. And they don't really take anybody else seriously. And I don't know why they couldn't win. I know last year was Utah up, Doug, 3-1 in the first round and then choked it down. Was that against Denver? I think it was Denver in the first round. But they were up 3-1, Utah, and lost. So people, you know, oh, that's nice. You had a great year, and then you didn't do anything in the playoffs. It's like the Clippers. Nobody will buy into the Clippers because of the choke job from a year ago, despite what you talked about earlier, which is normally it doesn't come together the first year. It takes a little time. I think they made the right changes. They made the right change, you know, in coach. I think the things that they did and the way that they're playing now and the idea that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard could play as awful as they played last year in Game 7 or leading up to that Game 7, I don't think that can happen again.
All right, let's welcome in Frank Isola, who does NBA Radio for SiriusXM. He joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker.
Frank!
Boys, what's up? Rob, have you filed a lawsuit yet against LeBron for stealing your idea for the barbershop? Yeah, as LeBron is suing everybody else for that idea when originally it was your idea?
You know it, Frank. I was doing barbershop sports, a TV show in Detroit 15 years ago. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate you.
We mentioned that on radio, Rob, when LeBron sent Nick Saban a cease and desist letter for like stealing the barbershop idea. I said, well, now Rob Parker's going to send you one because you took his idea. I'm always looking out for you, Rob.
Thank you, my man. Thank you.
Okay, the Lakers are starting to get healthy. But do you like this roster for this year and think it'll come together well enough for them to get out of the West?
Well, I do think that not having Rondo and not having Dwight Howard could impact them at some point. You know, Dwight Howard was big for them. And in fact, he committed that hard foul on Bam Adebayo, which essentially knocked him out of the NBA Finals. And Rondo had a huge impact. Rondo's, you know, the Clippers are 7-0 since they picked him up. I still think if LeBron is healthy, but that'll be a big question mark. You know, that high ankle sprain, you know, that's something that could linger for a while. All it's going to take is one little knock, and that could hurt him. But I heard you guys talk about Utah and Phoenix, and that's the thing. You know, you're looking at those teams, and they're both playing well. I mean, Phoenix won their 40th game last night, and you know, you watch the Laker game, and there's LeBron and Anthony Davis resting, and you're thinking, yeah, come playoff time, that's the team you don't want to play. I'll take my chances against Utah and Phoenix. The Lakers are the team you want to avoid.
No doubt. What about the Nets? I like the team. I think they are going to win the NBA championship if they're healthy and they're together. Too much firepower. I know people talk about defense, Frank, but you know, a lot of these guys, you can't stop. You can't touch anybody defensively. I'm not saying you got to let people get layups at the rim, but, you know, other guys are scoring twos and they're knocking down threes. Where are you on the Nets and their chance of winning a championship?
Yeah, and Sean Marks, he says that he's 100% confident that when game one of the playoffs rolls around, that their guys will be healthy. And obviously he's talking about James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving. That's right now, to me, the biggest thing. You know, the other night I was doing the games in studio for the YES Network, and they played Philadelphia, and I couldn't believe that for a game that was for first place in not only the Atlantic Division but really the Eastern Conference, how the intensity level. I said it was like watching a preseason game, but basically going through the motions. And Kevin Durant didn't play because they're not going to play him in back to backs. You know, we all hate it, but Kevin Durant missed over 500 days between, you know, getting the Achilles injury and finally playing for the Nets. Then he had all these issues where he kept getting held out of games because of COVID protocol, even though he had tested positive for it in March of 2020. And then he missed 2 months because of a hamstring injury. So what's the point of playing him now in back-to-backs when the playoffs are going to begin in 2 months? I think the same thing now is true of James Harden. These opportunities come around very infrequently, and they have a great chance to win the championship, because when the three of them have played, it's only been 7 games, and they're 5-2. And, of course, in one of those games, Durant was pulled off the court at halftime
right. Because
of a COVID test. So, you know, they've been dominant. And Durant, listen, Durant has kind of reverted back to, you know, getting too worried about what people are saying about him on social media and on TV. But when the dude was playing, I mean, he never makes a bad play. He doesn't take a bad shot. He's out there. He's unselfish. He defends. You know, he's just he's in a different class as a player. And if Harden is going to play like that, and even Kyrie, when he's been around, when he hasn't taken personal days, he's played some of his best basketball. So
Frank, I think this has been his best season.
I don't see it in the East, Rob. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kyrie, this is. I think this has been his best season. I know he hasn't played all the games, but...
It's just that the problem, Frank, is that, like, literally you have no idea if he's going to show up for a playoff game.
And
just, I'm just not feeling it today. Like, what are you going to say? You allowed this to take place all year. How are you going to go, like, okay, now we got to show up? And then you factor in the... Not just will they guard anybody, but will they be coachable, right? The story that I've shared with people is that when he was in Boston, his last series, and they lost to Giannis, their defensive scheme was to switch with everybody except with Kyrie. And Kyrie kept switching on Giannis and, like, challenging Giannis. And he can't guard Giannis. Like, what are you doing? Like, so there's will he show up and will he do what they asked him to do?
Yeah, and I think, you know, when he was on Boston, that series you're talking about, all season long, when he was struggling, his thing was, well, I just wait for the big stage. And then the big stage came, and he didn't play well. And then his press conference after they got eliminated was, well, it's bigger than basketball. Well, hang on a second. Which one is it? You kept saying to get ready for the big stage. And, again, I think he's played really well. But your point, and this is what's frustrating, like when he sits up there at the Zoom conference interviews, and Rob is a former Net beat writer, myself as well. I don't understand why they don't ask him, Kyrie, are you getting... So the Nets play tonight, and then they go on a 3-game road trip, which begins in Miami. He's missed 2 of their last 3 road trips. Why don't they ask him, are you going to be getting on the plane to be going, traveling with the team? And is there a chance you've had some issues where you've had to miss time? 2 weeks in January, a week in March. Is there a chance that you could be in a situation where you may have to miss time during the playoffs? Because, Doug, I agree with you. You like to think that he's going to be there, but you don't know. That maybe there's a chance that he's going to have... If you have to miss a week during the playoffs, that could be 4 games that you're missing, and that could greatly impact the team.
Frank, where are you on the MVP race? Obviously, a lot of the guys who you would say, you know, had a shot at it have been hurt. LeBron at one point, Harden... Embiid, you know what I mean, all miss significant amounts of time. Who would you pick right now as the MVP?
I would probably go with Nikola Jokic, and sometimes it's a little bit by process of the players eliminating themselves because of injuries. You know, it's funny, way back when we all voted for Karl Malone to win the MVP over Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan played 82 games, and if LeBron James had played all 72 games this year, I think if you didn't vote him number one, he was probably going to confine you and do something to you. So LeBron was going to be the guy, but now he's been eliminated. And Embiid, the other night, Embiid was trying to win MVP. Like, you could tell that Giannis isn't trying to be the MVP. He missed the 6 games. Last night he played 25 minutes. He's not going for it. Embiid the other night, I felt like he was, and I didn't even think he was 100% healthy. He wants to win the award, but you know, he's missed 18 games. So if he plays in every game the rest of the way, he's going to be a 54. Jokic has already played in 55 games. So I can't vote for a guy who's going to miss 18, and you know he's going to miss probably 1 or 2 more games. You're going to vote for a guy that missed 20 games out of a 72-game season? I can't do it.
Well, and you know, on the flip side, people, you know, some of these young I call them fanboy/sports writers who are saying that, because that's where our business is, Frank, unfortunately, and you know it. But LaMelo Ball, they want him to be the rookie of the year, and he's going to miss the season. Like, how in the world – I know he had a great start to his career. How in the world could he win rookie of the year when he's going to miss three quarters of the games?
You're 100% right. And he, to me, was the favorite. He's had a great year, and it looks like he's going to be a really good player. I mean, I don't understand. It's like the one sport, and I think the media plays into it. I think the fans do, where no one puts any value into the regular season. Like, it's, even when guys don't play, it's like, well, yeah, he could still win these awards.
Right.
And, if you go back, and I said this to Bob Ryan the other day, because Bill Walton won the MVP, and I think he played like 54 or 56 games. What were the writers doing that year? Going to Grateful Dead concerts with Bill Walton and smoking with him? How are you going to give a guy with the MVP who played less than 60 games in an 82-game season? I don't get it. And I think I agree with you, Rob. I just think I think fantasy sports has a lot to do with it. And, you know, people just go for the big names. I mean, it has to be about – that's why I think – and people think I'm nuts. But how can Donovan Mitchell – I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell should be in the top three. He can't be in the top five.
Right.
He's been a terrific
player. His name not even mentioned.
I mean, Jokic is going to win this thing, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Jokic is going to win. Can Denver win a series without Jamal Murray? Like, we all think Jokic is the MVP, but Jamal Murray was incredible this year, unbelievable in the bubble. He tears his ACL. It feels like that's a team that all of a sudden now you go from, I want to play anybody but Denver to, you know, if we could play Denver, it wouldn't be all that bad.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Now, I guess there's a chance they might be trying to sign Austin Rivers, but Jamal Murray is, he was having a good year, and their pickup of Aaron Gordon is, he's an athletic guy that could defend on the perimeter. He could do a halfway decent job on guys like LeBron and Kawhi. As it sits right now, they would be lined up to face the Lakers in the first round. And if Anthony Davis and LeBron came back, I just don't see it. I feel badly for Denver because it looked like they were certainly trending in the right direction, but I felt like they needed Jamal Murray. I just can't see them winning three playoff series in the Western Conference and getting to an NBA Finals without him.
What's wrong with the Pelicans? They got all these young players. Zion is playing, plays well, but they're 25 and 30. They've lost a lot. I know they've lost a lot of games. Maybe that they not that they should have won, but it just seemed like they're not that good. Is it the change in coach and adjusting to that, or do they need a veteran presence, or is it too many young guys? What's wrong with the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think it's all of that, what you said. And, they just don't defend enough, and that's a problem. They have some, terrific offensive players in Brandon Ingram and certainly Zion, but defensively and in that conference, that they're trying. So Draymond Green comes out and says they have no interest in playing, fighting for the 10th seed. And even though Steph Curry's playing like he wants to make the playoffs, you know that the league would love to see New Orleans get into, at the very least, that play-in scenario. So you get Zion.
That's one of the reasons they got invited to the bubble last year, right?
Because they wanted Orleans, no doubt about it. No doubt, Doug.
And that's why I thought, so they did all this. They get New Orleans down there. And then, poor Alvin Gentry, he's got to play Zion Williamson on a minutes restriction. Then the great thing was this season began – and in like one of the preseason games that they had, Zion played like 30-something minutes. He played more minutes in a preseason game than he got to play for Alvin Gentry as they were going for the playoffs. So I don't understand that whole thing.
Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes. Frank Isola joins us, of course, longtime scribe. You hear him on Sirius XM, NBA Radio. End of the day, Clippers or Lakers?
Oh, I'm still going to go with I still have ultimate confidence in LeBron James. I'll probably be rooting for the Clippers because I'd like to see Kawhi get there again with that group. To me, there's a lot of pressure on Kawhi. You guys have talked about this before. He's the one that made the move heaven and earth to get Paul George. And, when it didn't work out, Doc Rivers lost his job. That's the great thing about player empowerment. You're never held accountable when things don't work out. But Paul George has played well. And Paul George is in a situation where – he's only going to be judged like a lot of these players in the league. Like Kevin Durant's going to be like that this year with Brooklyn. It's only the only acceptable result is winning. And for Paul George, he's having a great regular season. None of it's going to matter. It's all going to be how he does in the playoffs.
And it would be if the Clippers, they got to get obviously to the Western Conference. If they got to the finals, and even if they lost to Brooklyn, I think that you would look at that and feel good about it if you're the Clippers. Obviously, you want to win, but that wouldn't rule out a chance that they could come back the next year and win.
Oh, right? I agree with that. And remember, this organization, they've never been to a conference finals. You would think by accident you could win two playoff series. And they've had, the one the one that they had when they were at the verge of beating Houston a few years back when Chris Paul was still on the Clippers and Dwight, I think it was Dwight Howard and James Harden were on the Rockets, and they won that game and then ended up winning the series. And, of course, last year in the bubble when they were up 3-1 on Denver and couldn't get the deal done.
Frank, great stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Glad you could be a part of it, and we look forward to talking to you in the real the near future.
All right, guys.
Yep.
Good talking to you guys. Take care.
All right, Frank Isola at the Frank Isola, host of the Starting Lineup on SiriusXM NBA Radio. All right, coming up next. Wow. The GOAT or the Diesel? Find out who's presenting Kobe Bryant into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. That's next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
The late, great DMX. At least we didn't go with X going to give it to you. I mean,
I found out something about DMX, the late DMX. That made me smile, Doug.
Okay.
He's a Golden Girls fan. He was, I should say. He was a Golden Girls fan. Did you see Gabrielle Union put on, I think it was Twitter or whatever, was a little story about him and how they used to watch the Golden Girls in his trailer or whatever. And she said he was fully engaged in the show, laughing and enjoyed it. And if you've never seen the show, I know people think it's crazy. That I'm so into that show, but it is a well-written show with great, and I know the show's been off the air for almost 30 years, but it's, have you ever watched it, Doug?
Yeah, I watched the Golden Girls. Great but I mean, show. This is like 20 years ago.
I know.
It's like 20 years ago.
I still watch it. It's
I know, Wright's you went on the alive. Golden Girls cruise.
I did last year, excuse me, right before the pandemic hit, Doug. I was on the boat
who goes on a cruise? You went on a cruise.
It was great. The Golden Girls cruise, people dressed up. There was music. There was cheesecake. I mean, performances. It was a fun time, I got to admit. It was like a four or five day cruise. And, I know there's a couple TV shows that really connect with me, and I don't know why that show connected with me. Obviously, I don't. I look like anybody on the cast. I have nothing in common with the characters, but that tells you about comedy. And I always say this, funny is funny.
No, funny is funny, and it's a funny show. I mean, like, look, in the pantheon of great shows of that era, I don't think it's not Cheers, right? It's not.
It's better than Cheers. What are you saying?
Stop it. Stop.
My two favorite shows, The Odd Couple with Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
Yeah,
and the Golden Girls. Those are my.
I know those are your favorite shows. It's not funnier than Cheers, and you're allowed to have your opinion, but your opinion in this case is wrong. It's not that big a deal. I just got an invite for the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame, and
nice.
To me, it's because not to go, but not to be in it, but to go watch my late coach Eddie Sutton finally got in, and obviously we couldn't be more excited. But then there's kind of this bonus. So Kobe Bryant, late great Kobe Bryant, is going to go posthumously into the Hall of Fame as well. And he's going to be presented by Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Now, there's a lot of talk of should have been Shaq, okay, or should it have been Jordan. Obviously, they selected Jordan. Is that the right call?
I think it's the perfect call because Kobe wanted to be Michael Jordan. I can remember listening to sound on the radio of Kobe talking, Doug, and thinking it was Michael Jordan. Like, the way he walked, the wristband on the elbow. I mean, he wanted to be a mini MJ, a clone. He studied Michael Jordan. It was amazing. I mean, I think that's the right choice. And I know Shaq and him, of course, won the 3 championships and had a relationship. Sure, it was strained at the end, but they had a friendship and they did special things together. And Shaq wouldn't have been a bad choice either. But I think Michael is the right choice. I really do, because he wanted to emulate. He wanted to be Michael.
Yeah, people do forget his first five, six years in the NBA. He walked like him. He talked like him. He clearly wanted to be Jordan. Yes. And then he emulated his game. And so I think it makes complete sense. Complete sense. And, I mean, you don't get much more star power than that. And I think Jordan's remark of, when Kobe died, a part of me died at his memorial service, I think that resonated with people. And I think people were like, wait, Jordan and Kobe were that close? I got to hear more. And I think it's really interesting. You know, Michael Jordan's own Hall of Fame speech went over so poorly. Do you remember what he did in his Hall of Fame speech?
Yes, he trashed everybody who doubted him. It was
uncomfortable.
It was tacky. I'm just going to call it what it is, because you don't need to do that. You know, to call out your high school coach who cut you. Really, Doug? Is that it's just not necessary. You could just talk about you overcame obstacles.
No, he flew down the guy who beat him out. Flew him down.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Flew him down. It's unbelievable. Yes. I'm going to fly him down and point out that this guy, when I was 15, he was better than me. When I was 16 and 17, I was better than him and everybody. And by the time I was 17, I was better than everybody else really in the country. And he became a McDonald's All-American. Like, yeah. So my point, though, is for Jordan, like, this could be the culmination of an unbelievable year for Michael Jordan. I mean, think about it for a second. We had during the pandemic, during the complete lockdown.
Right.
The only thing on TV that people were like, give me more of that. Give me more.
It saved us, Doug. Are you kidding?
Was The Last Dance. Yeah. Yep. It saved us in radio.
Yes,
he and Tom Brady changed places completely. So you had that. Then they draft LaMelo Ball. Granted, LaMelo Ball is hurt now, but obviously that was a home run as a draft pick.
Because he's had so many swings and misses with his draft picks that this is could finally be he got it right.
Yeah, and I believe he sold off some of the equity in his team but maintained the majority stake. So basically, like, just kind of cashed in on some of the inflated value of the team and still, you know, owning and running the Charlotte Hornets. And then you the chance to be a human being, right, in front of the world. Be a human being and talk about your relationship with Kobe Bryant and how it felt to have a guy come into the league and want to be you. Want to walk like you, talk like you, and be you, and ultimately come over to your. And now he has Kobe's shoes are more synonymous, honestly, with basketball. Jordan's brand is bigger, but in terms of basketball shoes, it's the most worn basketball shoe, I believe, not just in the NBA, but in basketball. His shoe and Kyrie's shoe. You know, to come over to Nike from Adidas, have your own shoes, but be part of kind of that Jordan family, do what Jordan did, and obviously, you know, then he passed away after a glorious career. I think it's an incredible moment for Michael Jordan and a chance to do over what he did when he was inducted into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame.
The other thing, too, I like is that people didn't know how close they were, or like the backstories, the conversations. And I think that's good from this standpoint, Doug. When you have a friendship or whatever, you don't have to broadcast that to people. People don't, you know what I mean? Like, who your pal is or your buddy. It's just natural. It's organic. It doesn't have to be flaunted or. And so a lot of people were surprised at how close they really were. And, you know, and what happened. I think that's neat that we really didn't know. It wasn't on Front Street. It was just genuine. And I think you're right. When somebody wants to be like you like that, how do you not embrace that guy?
What imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. But still, there is if you remember the famous footage from the All-Star game where Kobe was a rookie, was trying to, you know, come at everybody, and Jordan kind of laughed him off. Like, at some point there was begrudging respect, and then there was just outright respect, and then there was friendship and admiration. Like, I'm interested to hear the journey of those two and how they came to be.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that people don't want more, but I'm saying that while it was going on, nobody knew. That that it wasn't paraded out.
Correct.
To be like that. That's all.
I don't like when the friendships are paraded when they're.
Do you
just
know
like,
what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. Well, it's like fake.
Yeah, it's
just
fake.
Because
like,
fake.
Well, hey, we're buds.
I get it.
In
you guys
public.
Are friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We get it. Right. We don't need that.
You know what felt like that? Magic and Isaiah felt like that.
Okay. There you go. There's an example of that. Where they
like,
it
do you
was
have
well
to kiss
known.
It? Do you have to kiss it midcourt on the cheek?
During
by the way,
game.
The side kiss it was the NBA Finals. The side okay. kiss, like of the things that we should agree to eliminate coming out of COVID, right? The
side
world
kiss.
has opened up. The side face kiss thing. I want to vote on you want to do on Twitter, right? Are you in favor or not in favor of doing away with the side kiss thing? Because right now you can go like, hey, COVID.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm vaccinated. You're vaccinated.
I'll give
like,
you this.
Yeah.
I've seen old shows of the Carol Burnett Show that used to be on CBS. And strangers would come out of the audience with stuff to give her. Doug, she would, everybody who came up on the stage, whether it was a actor who was going to be on her show that night, or somebody from the crowd, kissed in the lips, in the mouth. It was unbelievable. Someone would walk up off stage and say, hey, Carol, can I have a kiss? In the lips. Total strange.
On the lips. On the lips.
Yeah, on the lips. I'm sorry.
On
you
the
know
lips.
What I mean. Sorry about that.
Well, did you have a Carol Burnett thing that was like making you jealous?
No,
was there a Carol Burnett
no,
thing for you?
It was like, just...
Listen, if you
all...
want to share, it's just me and you talking, Rob Parker.
It's just, no, it's just... It was just...
It was
watching
interesting.
An old show, and it was interesting. And you remember
people
Richard
used to
Dawson.
Smoke on people used to smoke on set. Like the whole thing is completely how we talk. Yeah, it was different.
Family Feud. Do you remember Richard Dawson used to kiss the women in the lips?
Yeah.
On the
no,
lips.
He Rob
on
does have cable. Rob has cable. You don't watch these shows on regular TV. What do you watch?
Like oh,
this
you know
is this
what,
is what
watch?
You watch? Golden Girls, the Carol Burnett Show, like
and
what?
Perry Mason every day. I watch Perry Mason every day. Now look,
you're that you become
that,
that
guy.
Old guy. You're that
yes.
old guy. You're that guy.
The only things I watch are sports,
Nick at Night,
news,
Nick at Night,
and reruns like old classic shows. I stopped the last regularly scheduled television show, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I watched every week was Seinfeld, and that's been off 20 years.
No, but it's still funny, but no streaming shows. Like
no.
the Wire.
I have streaming, but I've never watched it.
The,
I have it. I've never watched
and,
it.
And S Creek. I even though it's not spelled that way, I can't
right.
say S Creek. Like those shows don't appeal to you?
No, I know what they are. I've seen the commercials and all that. I have the streaming stuff on my newfangled television,
yes.
Right, but I've never
smart
watched.
Smart TV is it's
smart.
Called.
That's okay.
Smart,
that
smart
that
TV. You never watched?
You.
Never watched like Jack Ryan. You never watched, there's a new show that some are saying is like the new Wire. Nothing.
Nothing.
You know, nothing?
Perry
okay.
Mason, 9 a.m. and 11:30 every night. I watch both of those.
You watch, actually, he still calls it the clicker because it still clicks when he changes the channel. My son asked me, like, why do they call it the,
right?
Why do you call it the clicker? I was like, well, when we were kids, you used to press it and it would actually click.
Click, right.
He's like, you're the oldest human being on earth. That's what he told you. All right, upcoming next, NFL players are sticking their feet in the ground and they're not moving. But what's this all about? We'll get to it next with Ancient Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.